Hello, everyone. Welcome to this very special coaching cast called Reflect, Rebound, Rebirth. I'm Marianne Tribby, CEO of Centerpoint. This is the fifth free coaching cast call we've done since March 19th. We started these calls because the pandemic was so unknown, so confusing, and so frightful. And for so many, it still is. But today, I'd like to start this call a little differently from the others. I'd like to offer my heart and the hearts here of everyone at Centerpoint. I'd like to set an intention for this call to be a safe haven, one filled with love and respect for everyone on this call. What we witnessed last week, the murder of George Floyd, was beyond heinous, beyond disturbing, and I'm sorry, I don't have the appropriate words. What I do know is that we feel you, we respect you, and we love you. Your emotions are valid. When we open up the phone lines in a bit, if you have a comment, a question, or just want to cry, that's fine. We're here for you. We've entitled this call, Reflect, Rebound, Rebirth. 3 weeks ago, we came up with that title. And the discussion that we have planned for this call seems more apropos and important than ever. As the world has started its reopening, things still feel strange. People are still confused, angry, and fearful, plus so many other emotions. You think about the fact that 10 weeks ago, the world was pretty much in lockdown. And although many people felt isolated, we knew what we had to do. Now, throughout the world, the guidelines are not only different by country, they're different by state. They're even different by counties within that state. There's so much hatred spewing on social media platforms. People are fearful and confused. People are taking sides and looking for blame. If you don't wear a mask, you're labeled as selfish. If you wear a mask, you're labeled as being controlled. The fact that you're on this call tells us that you know it doesn't have to be this way, that the world can be, and each one of us can be better. And that's why we're doing this call today, so collectively we can help each other thrive as we come through the other side. So please let me introduce our incredible coaches for today's call. If you've been part of the Centerpoint family for any length of time, chances are good you already know Mark Gilson. He's been with Centerpoint for over 23 years. He's our Director of Client Care and our Chief Product Development Officer. We also have Ryan Moore. He's been with us for over 5 years and has helped people from every walk of life. He has a wonderful way of breaking new ideas into smaller baby steps so that people can succeed. And to add a new perspective to today's call, we have Rebecca Mangan. She has been a personal mentor for several years and one of our newer additions to our Accelerated Results coaching team. She's also been working with adults and kids on the spectrum of autism for many years. Her energy and love of life make her a compassionate and thoughtful coach, and she adds a brilliant dimension to our Centerpoint team. We're going to hear from our coaches in just a minute. I'd like to share with you a quote first, one that I believe to be so profound and timely. The quote is from Anne Frank, and she said, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. It's really a wonder that I haven't dropped all my ideas because they seem so absurd and impossible to carry out. Yet I keep them because in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart." It's also my own personal belief that people are good, that most people are good, that most people want to do what they can when they can, and that most people are on a continual journey to find their true greatness that will benefit humanity. I know that Centerpoint is not going to be my last stop. I know there are so many things I want to and I need to do in this world, and that I get closer each day to my greatness through Bill's teachings, learning from the team here, learning from you, my kids, from everyone I come in contact with. Because of this, I've been able to find blessings from this pandemic that I'd like to share. Everyone knows that I'm kind of like that commercial from years ago where I think it was the Men's Warehouse where he wasn't just the president, but he was a customer. Well, every day I do my Holosync. I do my meditation every day, not once a week, not a few times a month. And what I've gained from this is truly a profound sense of awareness and mindfulness. When this pandemic started, I added some other rituals to my morning. One that I love the best is actually riding my bike. And I see everything differently. If you're looking at the slides that are on your computer right now, they're of my favorite park. And you'll see a friendly little iguana there and a bird. And that's our library right, you know, down the road from me. And I used to go to this park all the time. But now I ride my bike there every day and I ride 15 miles. The park's gigantic. You're just seeing a little part of it. And I literally have found so much beauty that I've never noticed in this park before. I've been looking at iguanas for 25 years. And now everyone is different to me. I've been walking in my neighborhood that I live in for over 15 years. And now I notice my neighbor's flower beds, their palm trees, their kids playing in the front yard, and it makes me happy and grateful. And I've learned that it's the simple things in life that make life worth living. And these simple things lead to greater compassion and kindness. I have two examples I'd like to share with you. It's funny because I think they both tie everything I've shared thus far together. I have a very good friend and his name is Tom. And 4 weeks ago, he, right in the middle of the pandemic, obviously, when the news cycle was just constant, it was in your face 24/7. You could not hardly get away from it. But Tom was doing his morning walk as he does every morning. And after he does his walk, he goes into the same 7-Eleven to get coffee and say hello to the folks that work there and to thank them for coming into work every day. And as he was starting to go to the 7-Eleven, because he was walking in there, a car was parked right in the first spot, right by the doors. And you know how in most 7-Elevens or convenience stores, there's always a trash can right next to those doors. And as Tom's walking to go into the doors, he notices a gentleman in a car, and he throws his trash onto the ground. And it's a big McDonald's bag and a cup. And, you know, and so Tom was a little taken back by it. But instead of going over there and berating this person, like a lot of people may have done, or instead of ignoring it, like a lot of people may have done, Tom simply picked up the trash, looked at the gentleman, and said, "Let me get that for you." He then threw the trash in the garbage. Now, when he came out of 7-Eleven after he had said hello to his friends in there, the gentleman got out of the car, and Tom said, "He's a big guy." And Tom is no slouch. Tom is a U.S. Marine and, you know, works out continuously. And Tom just looked at him and said, "Oh, my." And the guy comes over to him and says, "Man, can I talk to you for a minute?" And Tom says, "Of course." And this gentleman says to Tom, "I woke up this morning. I had two things I was going to do. First, I was going to go to McDonald's and eat. And then I was going to take my life." And he said to Tom, "Because of you, I'm not going to do that second thing. Because of you, for your kindness and treating me the way you did, I'm here. I'm here to stay." And it's every time I tell the story, I can't help but think, here's someone who is a change. Here's someone who can make a change in this world. The other story I'd like to share is, you know, I live in Florida, as most of you know, and we've been coming out of lockdown slowly but surely. Our opening started on May 11th, and then on the 18th, our second phase went into effect. And because of this, and because we have been on lockdown, my husband and I, we actually want to go out to dinner. We want to go out to dinner without our children, who we love and who we've been spending a lot of time with. and we want to go out and do things with our kids, and our kids want to go out. So just this past Monday, my husband and I sat down and said, you know what, we need to start. We need to, you know, go out there and open up our lives. And both of us were convinced that we, you know, convinced to the point of, I would say, 99.9% that none of us had ever been infected with COVID-19. But my husband looked at me and said, let's get tested. Let's, you, me, and the kids get tested. And my husband called an urgent care center because there was one right actually by that park that I showed you before. And on Monday, the five of us went over and got tested. Now, we didn't get tested because we thought we had this. We got tested because we felt it was our responsibility if we wanted to start going out and interacting with people. People who may have a compromised immune system, people who may be elderly, anybody. And I'm very happy to say that all of our tests came back negative. And even though we were 99.9% sure, because nobody showed any symptoms whatsoever, and because of all the exercise and family dining, healthy meals, I think our family is collectively healthier than it's ever been. But because there was that 0.01% chance that of me not just having that uneasy feeling, of my husband just having that uneasy feeling, we went and we got tested. And I do want to share with anybody, if you're interested, that it's about a 60-second test. It's painless and it's easy. And we got our results, you know, literally within 24 hours that it was negative. We also did this because we want to teach our kids that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. That we want them to be socially conscious, responsible human beings. Therefore, we felt this was teaching them that. I believe that we all not only have the power to help the world change, we have the power to be that change. So, Mark, you want to take it away from here?
Yes, Mary Ellen, thank you. I really hope I speak for everybody. We really appreciate your words and your insights and sharing so much of your personal experience along the way. In fact, later we're going to come back. I want to talk a little bit more about that experience you had of walking near your park. It's great to be with everybody today. I'm seeing more people join, so welcome in. Make yourself comfortable. So much to talk about. I'm going to try and keep things focused and moving here, but what a wild time we're all going through. I can't help but think of that old saying, may you live in interesting times, right? I guess interesting is one word for it. There's so much going on. And we've been talking in the past few calls quite a bit about the pandemic and all the various challenges that come with that. And now we're confronting another very turbulent moment here in America anyway. And it's really hard to think of a time in recent history that comes close to this one. When it comes to seeing feelings of anger and frustration, and that word that we've been using so much lately, uncertainty. So, but I, you know, before we get too much deeper into this, I really want to be upfront. We're not here to pretend that we have all the answers. Our role, as we see it here at CenterPoint, is focused on creating powerful tools and sharing ideas to help you cope and thrive through good times and bad. Plus, as we'll mention later, we have this incredible team of caring professional human beings who are here to support you. That's our Accelerated Results Coaching Team. And I'm going to introduce a couple of them to you here shortly. And then we are going to get to some questions. We had people submit some awesome questions and comments before the call. And then we also will have an opportunity for everybody who's now listening live to raise their hands. And Mary Ellen will describe that in just a little bit so that we can interact with you live on the call. So I'm looking forward to that, too. So I want to jump in with just a few comments, especially as it pertains to some of what Mary Ellen was talking about. We all know the pandemic has created a world that feels a lot less certain and predictable. And now we have parts of the world are, you know, they're trying to return to normal. And I kind of say that in with air quotes. a lot of people are really asking themselves what normal even means, and in some cases, whether it's even possible to regain normalcy. It really wasn't too long ago that we talked so much about uncertainty. The word was everywhere. It still is. Television commercials, Facebook posts, tweets, billboards. We even made uncertainty the focus of one of our previous calls. And the only thing really certain at that time was that we all felt pretty uncertain, right? So we naturally looked to the future when the restrictions would ease and people could return to a more normal and certain life. And I think, speaking for myself anyway, that vision in my mind was pretty easy to imagine because it's the life I've been living up until about 3 or 4 months ago. The irony, though, is that as we're beginning to emerge from our hideaways and trying to reclaim a sense of normalcy, it's this return to normalcy that feels even more uncertain for many people, even more so than, you know, the self-quarantining has. I mean, a month ago, we weren't really all that uncertain about what to do, right? Because we all knew what to do. We had it drilled into us by experts, government officials, and the media every single day. You know, stay home, keep your distance, wash your hands, wear a mask. Much of this advice is still sound. But now things are slowly changing. People are beginning to return to work or other activities. That means they're having to make their own decisions and use their own judgment. Not always easy for everyone. You know, people are eager to return to work. Some of them are not so eager to return to work. Some are desperate to do so, while others are really worried about the risks coming from being out in the open. So, and there are, of course, those people who think they have a very clear and complete understanding of just what to do. But for most of us, the days ahead will really involve a lot of careful decision-making and planning. So what do you do when you feel like you're moving from uncertain time to a new uncertain time? How do you proceed with a normal life when you're really not even sure what normal is anymore? At CenterPoint, we use a lot of metaphors related to travel and navigation. Now, a lot of you have heard one of Bill Harris's 9 principles of conscious living called "The Map is Not the Territory." That was another focus from one of our early CoachCast calls. Maybe you're enrolled in the Life Principles Integration process, and you've learned a great deal about what we call the map of reality. CenterPoint aside, though, you've heard the life described as a journey or a path. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, life is a journey, not a destination. Thoreau said, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by. Another more contemporary philosopher and troubadour named Willie Nelson said, there is only one map for the journey of life, and it lives within your heart. Not to mention, Willie's famous for singing, anybody remember, On the Road Again? So here we are, collectively trying to work out just which way to go. Trying to determine when's the right time to be on the move and when should we hunker down. Trying to figure out what gear to bring and what to leave behind. And for some of us, trying to weigh out the pros and cons of returning to a normal life. Whether or not we really want to go back to the same old normal we were familiar with, or whether we want to build something completely different and new, we have to start by understanding that the territory has changed. Our maps are not as accurate as they once were. Our GPS isn't quite calibrated properly, and our sense of direction might be just a little bit off. We've talked before about the differences between being a tourist and an explorer, and this relates in a very real way to what Mary Ellen was describing earlier with her walk through the park and seeing those iguanas kind of with new eyes. And it really sums up our current situation in an interesting way. See, a tourist is somebody who takes a pre-planned route. Tourists are asked to stay on the path, stay with the group, follow the signs. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you want. You know, if that's what you're looking for is to kind of take all the guesswork out of sightseeing. After all, tour guides often do the work for you of finding just the right route to see all the things you want to see and probably take selfies in front of. They also know where not to go, which can be very helpful when you're in unfamiliar territory. But the thing about where we are today is that there really aren't any tour guides. I'm not quite old enough to have been around for the last pandemic. I bet you aren't either. So this is a first for us. While there are experts to help advise us, we're all, to some extent, in new territory. When we talked about the differences between being a tourist and an explorer in the past, we discussed it as a matter of choosing which one you want to be. But we really don't have that choice anymore. Now, we're all explorers, like it or not. No guides, our maps have changed, and the territory has been altered. Seems strange that so much can change in what is really a rather short amount of time, doesn't it? But here's the really cool part about becoming an explorer. Explorers experience the world in a more authentic and intimate way. They get to see things that tourists don't. Explorers are not always sure of what lies ahead, so they must venture out prepared. Explorers carry maps, but are just as likely to navigate according to the lay of the land or by the stars above. Explorers must develop their intuition and gut instincts. They must learn about the surroundings in order to survive and move forward. Explorers are students of the environment and of how that environment changes. They learn quickly to see themselves not as some kind of aloof observer of the world, but as an integral participant in touch with their surroundings. And maybe most importantly, especially considering where many of us find ourselves today, explorers are very attuned and open to possibilities and aware of unfolding opportunities. For an explorer, that is a survival skill. With all the things the explorer mentality gives us, perhaps we should embrace this time as difficult as it is, or at least try to, at least where the pandemic is concerned. You've probably heard the story of the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama. We won't take the time to get in that whole story because that's not what this call is about. But there's a little part of that story that is often overlooked, and I think it relates in a very special way to our talk of explorers and where we are today. Siddhartha was born into a very privileged family, and as a young man, he had a life of luxury and riches ahead of him. He had none of the challenges in life that many around him faced, such as hunger and poverty. In fact, his family did their best to keep these matters from Siddhartha, to protect him from the harsh realities of the world. When he finally escaped from the protection of the gardens and lushness of his palace life and encountered true suffering, he was both shocked and repulsed. But rather than retreat back to the safety of his palace, he made up his mind to search for a solution, some way to improve the agonizing conditions so many people were suffering with. This solution would not come easy, but eventually his search led him to the famous Bodhi tree, where he resolved to meditate alone without food or comfort until he either discovered the answers to his questions or died trying. According to the story, his answers did finally come to him after much meditating, and one morning it is said that he saw the morning star rise as if for the first time, and then became enlightened. And he noticed the star, quite likely Venus. As he saw that star, he said words to the effect of, "How beautiful, how perfect, how complete." At this point, he woke up and he became the Buddha. This is the part of the story that got my attention. We're told that his enlightenment occurred upon noticing a star he'd probably seen hundreds, maybe thousands of times before in his life. But this time was different. Something in his perception had changed. This time, he saw that same star, but with new eyes. This is what Mary Ellen was describing when she was telling us about her walk. She was seeing her same environment, but through new eyes. And this is what happens when we stop acting like tourists and begin living like explorers. Enlightenment doesn't mean living in some kind of alien world, but rather seeing the world, this world, clearly as it is, as though for the first time. Right now, there's even more to be uncertain about than before. Right now, whether we like it or not, we have been kicked off the tour bus. We are confronting a changed environment. As we carefully explore this new environment, we can do so with a fresh perspective. Can we see the same old world but through new eyes? Can we notice opportunities now where before there were only obstacles? Can we see happiness and success in our future? Can we see peace and prosperity? It's a challenge now, folks. But to do so, we have to leave the old path behind. We have to explore. There's not much good to say about a global pandemic. There's certainly nothing good to say about racial injustice. But explorers know how to use experiences as learning opportunities, and they always manage to learn something new. Life is limited if we stay on the same path and never explore. The pandemic has forced many of us from that path. But if we meet moments of uncertainty with awareness, our senses are sharpened, our choices are clearer, our intention carries more power, and we can more easily navigate any terrain in life. One last thing. While we can't rely on our tour guides, we can be there for one another. That's why you are on this call, isn't it? That's why we're sitting here doing this call. We have such a great team of coaches assembled here at CenterPoint who are not only there for you during this time, but who can also help you move forward and grow. As I said before, this is a highly unique service that belongs to you. If you're in the Holosync Solution Program or the Master Your Life Program, you just won't find this kind of level of support and assistance anywhere else. Our coaches are not just hobbyists. They don't do coaching part-time. They don't do it just evenings and weekends. This is their full-time job. They are here for you to make sure you get the best possible benefits from your CenterPoint program materials. And today, I'm excited to introduce to you another one of our amazing coaches. You've met Jen Kennedy. You've met Ryan Moore, fantastic human beings I love working with every single day. And here is another one. Today, we've got Rebecca Mangan. Rebecca, there you are. Socially
Hi.
Distanced, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So happy to have you here. She is one of these people, Rebecca. She radiates upbeat energy. And I have said many times that if I had half of Rebecca's energy, I might just give up my morning coffee. That says a lot. In addition to working with us as an accelerated results coach, and Mary Ellen alluded to this previously as well, Rebecca also works with children with developmental disabilities, autism. Is that right, Rebecca?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time, and I was really excited, especially with the new suite we released, the Magical Wooded Path, that gave me an opportunity to implement a new practice with my kids that really taught them or gave them a space in which they can just feel their emotions and really experience a new practice that would help them maybe help them understand their emotions, what they're going through, mm-hmm. and it was really nice to see their experience and see the reaction, which was really a lot of fun, and they seemed to really enjoy the story and really interacted and engaged with it.
That's so cool. I mean, if you're new to this, you know, you've certainly seen some emails maybe, but if not, the Magical Wooded Path is our newest suite. It's our most unique one, I think it's safe to say anyway, and it is for kids. It is for kids not to just kind of occupy them for a few minutes, but to help teach them the value of mindfulness, of stillness. You know, we've had our kids cooped up for months now. As any parent knows, you don't want to do that to a kid. You're going to get a little bit of pushback, putting it mildly. But if we use this opportunity that this pandemic has given us to help our kids learn the value of stillness and how to manage their own thoughts and feelings and sensations internally, we've really gifted them with something that, I mean, to be frank, in my opinion, our educational system doesn't really do a great job of. That's just not their focus. So it's up to us to do that. And this is one of those tools that can help parents do exactly that. And so I want to bring in our other coach who we've heard from before, and also one of our co-creators of the Magical Wooded Path, who does all the high tech behind the scenes audio engineering, Mr. Ryan Moore. Ryan, how are things going for you today?
Things are going great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's new in your world?
Oh, well, you know, we're working on a whole bunch of new projects, which I'm excited about. I know that you're going to be introducing them, so I won't steal your thunder. Those are exciting. And, you know, I think in common with what we're doing here on this call, I've been using this time to kind of reinvent my life. So we'll probably talk about that a little later.
That is another term, isn't it, that we keep seeing, reinventing. That's why you're on this call. There's so much going on in the world. We're trying to tackle all of it, and we will get to all of it, whether on this call or future calls. But we promised you we would talk about reinventing, rebounding, rebirthing, and what that means. It means different things to different people. And in a minute, I want to get to some of the questions that were pre-submitted before the call that Rebecca's going to share with us. But I thought before that, Mary Ellen, if you're there, can we maybe get people prepped for how to raise their hand in the room?
Yes.
So that if they have a question for us live, they can be in the queue and we can get to them.
Yes, absolutely, Mark. That was absolutely fabulous. And I want to say that I'm so proud of Ryan, who shared a little something with me before that I don't want to share publicly, of what he's doing for his health and to better his life. And I'm just, you know, it's interesting that we could always do these things, but to find the courage, the strength to do this during a time that we were going through is commendable. And there's big things, there's little things, and all the little things tend to add up. And so I hope that when you're done, when you're off this call, that you understand that you can come out of this thriving, that you can you can reinvent yourself, you can pick up, you can do whatever it is you need to do. So we're going to take some questions that were previously submitted, and there's a lot, and we'll take a few, but please, we would love to hear what's going on in your life. Any questions you have, any comments, anything that you're feeling right now is absolutely great to get into the queue and share with this community, because we are a community. And to do that, please just hit *2 if you're on the telephone, right? If you're on your actual cell phone or a telephone, I don't think anybody has a landline anymore. Please just hit *2. If you're on the web call, which actually most people are, you'll see a little icon that's actually to the left of your volume button when you came in, and to the right of the mute. So it's right in the middle of the mute and the volume, and it looks like a little fist, and it actually says raise hand. All you have to do is hit that. And for some reason, if you want to take yourself out of the queue, you do the exact same thing. But please, the thing that I always find is that if you have something that you feel you'd like to share, whether it be a question or comment, to leave the call without doing so, it won't make you feel good. So what we really want is for you to thrive. And so please feel free to get on this call. And I do want to say that this call, like I said in the beginning, this is a safe haven, and that this isn't a blame call. You know, this is a call for us to all grow and get better collectively. So Rebecca, do you want to kick us? Oh, and before I do that, I do want to say, you know, again, welcome to everybody. And it's so amazing and humbling to see people from not only all the states represented in the United States, but for all these countries that we have on this call all the time. So thank you, because I know that, and for so many of the countries, the time zones are a little crazy. So thank you for getting up early or staying up late and being here. It really shows that you want to come out of this thriving, and that you can come out of this thriving. Mm-hmm. So, Rebecca, would you like to start with one of our first questions or comments, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mary Ellen. So our first question is from Judy. She asks, I would like to reinvent myself, doing something more significant, helping others, but I don't know where to start.
Boy, I think that sums up where a lot of people are these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
We really try to keep focused on the positive here, because, you know, but I think it's important to acknowledge the not so positive. People have lost income. They've lost jobs. They've lost security through mm-hmm. this. That's a life changer, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, this concept of reinventing and rebounding, this is why we're doing this call. This is now what is foremost on so many people's mind. And some of us have been very fortunate to not be quite as impacted, but so many people, you know, when you look at the news, you see lines of people, cars in parking lots waiting for a box of food. It's just, it's hard to look at. Mm-hmm. But I love Judy's question, because it is future focused, isn't it? You know, she's ready to move forward. And for Centerpoint, I mean, I'm so proud of the fact, and, you know, I'll say this repeatedly, and, you know, unapologetically, we have tons of tools to help you do exactly what you're talking about, what you're asking about, Judy. I mean, so many of them come to mind: the Journey to Self suite, the Ultra Success and Wealth suite, the Super Learning suite. There's so many out there. But I really want to emphasize, and we'll come back around this, the main program that Bill Harris began developing over 30 years ago, the Holosync Solution Program. Again, this is the workhorse program that we offer. This is the heavy duty. These are the big guns, folks. These are the ones that really create this most significant change if you stick with it. And we have been accustomed to people coming to our program for many years who are looking for what we all seem to be collectively looking for now, which is to reinvent, to recreate, to look for something new, for change. You know, I always tell people, don't assume you know why someone is doing their personal growth program or they're doing Holosync, because they all have their own reasons for that. However, you know, what unites everybody, and I'm sure everybody on this call, is that no matter what you're trying to accomplish, you're desirous of being a happier, healthier human being. So I don't want to ramble too much there, but Ryan, did you have something you wanted to add to that as well? I know you've answered this question many times.
Yeah. So I think the big thing here is to really focus in on, well, what do you want? Right. When you're reinventing yourself, you have to focus on a goal, some sort of aspect that you think, okay, well, how do I want to improve my life?
How can I?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, or even more so is like, what if, right? You were constantly, when I first joined CenterPoint, you were constantly, driving in that question, what if? And I was too focused on like, how can I? Because I'm like a process guy. And I was stuck in this place where I couldn't imagine like where I could go. I was just focused on doing the thing versus like, what would I want? Right.
Yeah. I think you zeroed in on it way better than I did, frankly. But, Ryan's talking about those two powerful questions. How can I, to get your mind thinking about the possibilities? That's why Judy's asking this question. The what if. Excuse me. And then how can I is more specific to how can we accomplish those kinds of things that we're focused on. Rebecca, you had a comment too.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on a little bit of the reinventing yourself, because that's something I'm personally going through as well. And one big principle that stands out to me in the 9 principles of conscious living is, how can I let whatever happens be okay? So I asked that question for myself because it's a transition period. As we're reinventing ourselves, we also have to let go of the person we used to be or the things we used to do or even our original goals. So if I can let that be okay and not resist what I was before, then I open myself up to possibilities and new avenues of change that I never really thought of before or thought about I could be capable of doing. Mm. So that was really big for me.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Mary Ellen, something to you?
That was wonderful, you guys. And the one thing I want to say to Judy is a couple things. The first is, it's not going to happen overnight. The second thing is, you have to allow yourself the time, the reflection, to know what it is, right? That this is not going to come to you if you're stressed out and making dinner and the kids want this, or your demanding boss wants this, right? That you have to give yourself that space, that place. For me, it's going on my bike ride or my walk. Like, you have to give yourself that time to be able to think, to be able to really ponder those questions, how can I or what if, because you cannot ponder those questions as you're in the middle of getting that, those numbers in for your boss or whatever that is. So it's so important to know that this has to happen in order for you to go there.
Absolutely. Very good point. Nice. Good luck, Judy. Keep us posted. Rebecca, we have another one that we can talk about a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So it actually is another question about reinventing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question there is really, how do I reinvent myself when jobs are expected to disappear?
When jobs are expected to disappear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, guess what? We're back to the uncertainty issue, aren't we? And I know how difficult that could be. This really, to me, harkens back to what Mary Ellen said in terms of being patient with yourself. I said before, meditation is a radical form of activism, and people look at me like, what are you talking about? But it's true, because what it does is, if you meditate, that's for many people the kind of space Mary Ellen does. It sounds like almost kind of like a walking meditation, right? When she's out or when she's on her bike, mm-hmm. There's different ways of doing it. Holosync is, she does that too. So she's really covering her bases as far as giving herself an opportunity to self-reflect, and really it helps her get in touch with values. If you do these kinds of things, it will help you get in touch with, I'm not talking about moral values, although that can be important. I'm talking about understanding what is truly deeply important to you on your deepest level, because that's what informs your choices. That's what drives your decisions, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. And mm-hmm. So when you begin to see that those machines, that mechanism at work, you are able to kind of shift away from the focus of the uncertainty. Another principle that is big for us among the 9 principles for conscious living is chaos and reorganization. And boy, you know, we've got the chaos thing down, right? I mean, we're all kind of chin deep in chaos, and some of it is truly heartbreaking. It's very difficult to comprehend and get our minds around. But, you know, we don't have to understand every element of it to understand that it is important that we get our values aligned with what we really want. Because, you know, ignorance and fear thrives when we get lazy and we begin to make generalizations. There's a quote from my old-time philosophy professor going back, I'm not going to say how many years now, but he was a great guy, and Mr. Casey. And he said, generalizations lead to stereotypes and biases, and they come from lazy minds. And that's always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to get too far afield here, but I think when we're going through tough times, it's easy to get lazy and cut corners and not take the time to really look internally and see what's at work inside. And I think that will really inform anybody who's feeling uncertain about what to do next. It can take work, but you can do it.
You can do it. And I want to add this, that last year, you know, after, you know, first of all, bill passed, you know, 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago, May 1st. And we were actually in the process of reinventing Centerpoint to some degree. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about, is we launched a new website last July. We launched this, and it's one that we filled, and we're going to say the words planets because you could say categories or pillars. But what they were the 12 planets that Bill was convinced that would lead to the optimal lifestyle. And one of those planets, if you haven't visited centerpoint.com lately, you really need to, but one of those planets is financial success. And as a matter of fact, we are doing a webinar on the 17th, right? And you will get a notification about this. But it is about like starting your own business. You know, I will be hosting this, and it's our experts will be Buck Risby and Ryan Lee. And I've known both of these guys, I want to say almost 20 years, both of them now. And so what we've done through this reinvention is we added things that Centerpoint wasn't really known for initially, right? But now, so I would encourage you very much so to be on this webinar, because here are two guys who are going to be sharing what they do. And that's, you know, a big difference, that if you guys are looking for reinvention in starting a business or switching careers, that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who will tell you what they think you should be doing. And then there are a lot of people like Buck and Ryan who are going to share what they do in order to be successful. So please join us on that, and you will get you'll get an email from me. So please be on the lookout.
That's going to be power packed. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, I want to get to some live calls in a minute, but we have so many. Every time we do this, we never are able to get to everybody's question, and I'm so sorry about that. But honestly, it would take us 3 or 4 hours, especially with how we respond to questions sometimes at length. If your question that you submitted doesn't get answered today, our support team, our accelerated results coaching team, will respond to you as soon as we're able to. So hang on to that question. It will get a response. We had found out, actually, that during the call and just before, we had a lot of people jumping in at the last minute. And so I've got a screen full of questions here, and I wanted to kind of get to a couple of those as well. And I thought, Rebecca, I was hoping you could kind of speak on this a little bit. First of all, let me mention this. A comment from Daniel came in. We get so many of these kinds of comments, and I just want to say we appreciate these more than you guys really have any idea. Daniel says, I just want to wish everyone at Centerpoint well. Thoughts with everyone stateside, and wishing you all safety and joy and warmth. And, you know, it's just a simple expression of concern and care from Daniel. But, you know, those kinds of things really make our day. They really are the fuel for us and keep us going. Richard, from Botley, England, asked this question, Rebecca. He says, what is the one thing, the most powerful thing we can do going forward to thrive? What's the most powerful question we can ask ourselves right now?
Well, that's a great question. It's funny. I would answer that with the question of how can I let whatever happens be okay, which I just touched on. But the reason I think that's important is that when we're going through discomfort or suffering, whether ourselves or in our world, I think asking that question can really help us disconnect from any attachment to any outcomes. So if we can then have preferences, and this kind of leads into our reinventing ourselves, if we have preference, then it opens us to new possibilities that maybe we hadn't expected or really wanted to welcome in our life. And I feel like when we can let the instances or whatever the events are going on in the world be okay, then we can really stop that resistance that we are creating, whether consciously or unconsciously, to really help us move forward and accept the things that are happening, even if they're not okay. That acceptance is going to help us really remove that resistance in our life and that suffering.
Yeah, well said. And I mean, when we say let whatever happens be okay, that is not the same as saying we like what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so much going on right now that we do not like. And it doesn't, you know, some people I think fear that if I'm too okay with what's happening, it's the same as kind of condoning it or allowing it. No, that's not what we're saying. In fact, if you really practice this and get this down, and there's ways of doing that through things like witnessing, mindful acceptance, it really empowers you to make choices and have a response that can move the conversation forward, that can help heal, rather than a reaction that just keeps you mired in that whirlpool of fear and frustration and anger. Ryan, you had something too you wanted to share about that.
Yeah, Mark. So one of the things that I've been doing here during this whole kind of situation is I've been reexamining my life. And the question that I've been asking myself and I've been really kind of fascinated by is, what is a life worth living look like? Right. Mm. And so I've been examining myself and what my life is right now. And I wasn't happy with it. And I was like, okay, well, what are some of the things that I can do right now? Obviously, there are some things that I'm limited on, but I can still do stuff. And, you know, it's been leading to some fantastic changes in, like, my personal life. I used to feel like there was, like, this big wall between maybe me and my family. So I've actually reconnected with my brother, and we've been having, you know, great conversations over the phone. And I've also started working on my weight. And since March, I've actually dropped 30 pounds using fasting. So it's been incredible change just in these couple months.
Wow. Yeah.
That's really awesome, Ryan.
That's super cool. Very proud of you. Nice work, man.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing I think that a lot of people are going through. What can I do to better myself right now? I mean, I'm not going to say it's a blessing to be out of work. It's not. But it does give you an opportunity. There's more mental real estate to devote to thinking about, you know what, it's about time I finally did that, you know, took those 10 pounds off. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Just because something happens in one area of your life doesn't mean that you can't also improve, you know, other areas of your life or enjoy parts of your life, even though you're being challenged in one. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you lose your job, it doesn't mean that your relationships have to suffer. Yeah. You can increase the wealth that you have with your relationships or maybe your health, even though you might be challenged with a job or vice versa, you know?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yes. Yeah, really well put.
Yes.
Are we back in?
We are indeed. Sorry about that.
That was fun. Oh, am I there? Am I here or am I over there? Am I up or down? I have no idea.
You're on.
Okay.
We can hear you.
I'm on. All right. Welcome to live radio or whatever we can call this. I don't know where I left off there. But I was trying to kind of share one more comment from somebody who got in just before the call went live. And that is from Patrick in Sedona. And he said something that kind of got my attention. He said, I've learned that I need to cry and sweat the accumulated poisons, trauma, and misery out of my system. There's been so much buried grief and loss that it has been unbearable. My new learning is that I need to cry and that it's all right to cry. In fact, it's actually essential in my case. What have you guys and gals found with regard to this? I mean, that's a really courageous question, I think, from Patrick. And, you know, we do believe in the process of detoxing and catharsis, the release of unresolved mental and emotional material. So often we devote so much energy to, quote unquote, holding ourselves together, right? because we can't just sort of pick and choose the moments in life when we feel something. So if we feel that stuff bubbling up inside, the uncertainty, I mean, I get caught off guard by it sometimes, just watching the news. I'm not overly affected by that. I was raised, you know, in a home where the news was on quite a bit. I feel like I'm pretty good at just not getting phased by it, letting that roll off my back and letting it be okay. But it, every so often, it'll trigger something in me of an emotional reaction. And I've learned that if I try and fight with that, it just makes it worse. So, I mean, I think Patrick's comments are really honest and true. And I think that, yes, you have got to develop a lot of self-honesty about what you feel in uncertain times. And if that means you've got to shed some tears and have a good sob, go for it. It's good for you to kind of flush that stuff out. Don't hang on to it. It gets toxic. So, yes, absolutely. That's part of the release that we encourage people to go through if they need to. Okay. Marielle, do we have you back too? Not hearing Marielle and myself.
Yeah, well, we'll get Mary Ellen back on the phone here.
Okay.
And I just want to remind everybody, if you have questions, we're going to be taking questions here in just a few moments. So just a reminder here, if you want to ask your question live, go ahead and press *2 on your phone, or there's a little hand icon there on the little web call that will raise your hand. So go ahead and do that. Get your questions ready. We're going to be answering them here in just a moment. I'm going to step aside, and Mark is going to take over while I go and help Mary Ellen reconnect.
Okay. I think we can do that. Thank you, Ryan. We do have more questions, and like Ryan said, we're going to get to some of those live ones in a moment. So we have a few technical issues to work out. That's what makes this kind of fun and exciting, doesn't it, folks? You just never know. Rebecca, we have a lot of calls or a lot of questions from other people, and I know you're sitting there with a list of them. Should we tackle one of those and then check in with Ryan in a minute and see if we get Mary Ellen back?
Yeah, that sounds great. I just first off want to start with some really nice comments and kind of on the lines of Daniel, where people are just thanking us and really grateful for all we do. And we're really appreciative of those comments. And we're really grateful that you guys have all been able to give us your questions. And there's so many good ones. And remember that we're always here to speak to you anytime you need. Just simply call our support line or call any of the coaches you know directly if you do have those or want those one-on-one questions and coaching.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's why we're here. And I've said it 100 times. If you've been on every call that we've done so far, you're probably tired of me saying it. But we have this spectacular group of people who I'm really proud. I've worked with at least 100 coaches in the time I've been at CenterPoint. And I'm telling you right now, this is the best group. It's the most conscientious and capable and talented and caring, compassionate group of people that you're going to find. So I really, really, really want you to call, talk to our folks. They're here to help you. This is not a service you find in other companies, even other personal growth companies. So avail yourself of that. So I see Ryan. And
Mark, can you hear me?
Hello. Hey, stranger.
Yay, great. Hello. I heard everything that was going on. So you know what? If this is the worst thing that happens to our company every once in a while, that we have a little bit of technical difficulty, I think we're pretty darn blessed. So,
okay, pretty knock on wood, but yes,
yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. So great answers there. So folks, please get in the queue. We've got one person in the queue right now. We had a couple, and I don't know if your question was already asked and you dropped out, but please *2 if you're on the phone and if you're on the web call, like so many of you are. Most of you, as a matter of fact, it's that little fist icon that says raise hand. So please *2. You know, and it's perfectly fine if you don't want to go live, if you want to listen, because, you know, a lot of times we probably don't listen enough, but it's absolutely fine, whatever you're comfortable doing. So why don't we, I think we'll unmute Tina and get her to kick us off here. Hello, Tina, you're live. How are you doing?
Fabulous. And I really, really what I wanted to do on this call today is a little bit of bragging for you guys. I want to brag on your new kids suite, the Magical Wooded Path. It's beautiful.
Thank you. So have you used it with any kids, Tina, or are you just enjoying it?
I don't have any kids, so.
Okay.
But I did get it. I got it for myself because I'm always aware that one of the things that I appreciate about a good story is the vivid language and the ability to imagine what the story is getting at. So, you know, I think that was just so beautifully done. Was it, Mark, was it you that came up with the idea?
Well, it was really an idea that's been floating around a while. I put together the story, and then, you know, Jen, who narrated it, really brought all of that to life. And I'm telling you, we had a blast doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, how am I going to write a kid's story? I don't write kid's stories. And then once I get into it, you know, I really enjoyed it from my own kind of, you know, so-called inner child's perspective. And we really just enjoyed it. And Melanie, with her artwork that she did designing those characters and the printable, downloadable coloring versions of those characters, you know, the whole thing was, I really, probably my the most fun I've had creating a product. It was just great. And the feedback like you're giving is so important. And we're getting so
Thank you.
Great feedback from other people as well. So, you know, even if you just want kind of a fun story time, audible story time story booklet for your kid, this is a great product to check out.
There is that tricky challenge of playing it before bed because so many headsets and earbuds aren't very comfortable. Can this be played over speakers?
So, again, you know, as with all HoloSync, HoloSync really relies on that stereo separation that you get from earbuds or from headphones. You can always listen to anything without them, though. It's just that the HoloSync portion won't be effective. So if you're just wanting to listen to the story and enjoy the music behind it, absolutely, you can play it over your speakers. I want to mention, too,
okay.
A lot of people make the comment, Tina, you did, which is true. You know, I've got a whole ton of headphones and earbuds. I do not wear the big ones in bed. I wear the sleep phones. I don't know if you've looked into those, but we do offer these very cool, very soft sleep phones that are kind of like wearing a soft felt headband, but they've got tiny speakers mounted inside it. So you just pull it over on your ear. And if you roll on your side, you know, it's not a problem. It's, you know, very lightweight. You barely even know you're wearing them. So
Yeah, right. I used those last night. I was listening to Super Theta as I was drifting off to sleep, so it was fantastic. And at some point, I had taken them off during the night, but they were just super comfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
Can you wash those? I know that many electronic component things aren't washable. How do you deal with washing them?
The great part about them is they actually have like a little Velcro flap in the back that you can remove the speakers and just wash the headband and then just put them back in. It's really convenient.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind if I ever want to look into sleep phones. As usual, I look forward to the replay of this. And I also look forward to the possibility of you guys putting a download link on the site because that's what I look for is a link that says download this file.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that you get a copy of it, Tina.
Thank you. And again, I really, really appreciate what you guys have done with this magical wooded path. And one thing that I really, really appreciate about it too is, you know, Jen did such a beautiful job with the narrating on that one. I don't know what her background is before coming to Centerpoint, but she really has just done a fabulous, she just did a bang-up job.
I agree wholeheartedly. Jen is also a talented singer, so she's got that going for her. And as I was writing the pieces to the story, I was sharing each one, and she was getting really excited. And as soon as I knew I had her on board with that story, I knew she was going to do a great job. So thank you again, Tina, for being a loyal listener and part of our community and checking in.
Yeah, thanks, Tina. That's great.
Yep.
Now, folks, we don't have anyone. We have so many people on the call, which is wonderful, but we don't have anyone else in the queue. Why don't we take one more question? Oh, wait. Oh, we had somebody. Chris keeps coming in and out. Chris, if you want to put up your hand, please do. In the meantime, let's take one more question and we'll, oh, there's Chris. So I'm actually going to unmute Chris. Hold on one moment. And I don't know if this is a man or a woman, so I apologize if I, hello, Chris, you're live.
Hello, Mary Ellen. I am in fact not a woman.
Yes. Thank you. I got that right away. Thank you.
I've been with CenterPoint since the early days. I stopped using Holosync. I'm back on now. I just wanted to share, if I might, a couple constructive resources from my perspective for folks.
Sure.
Chris, go ahead.
Number one is Morning Pages, which is a daily freeform writing practice from Julia Cameron's book,
yes.
The Artist's Way.
I love it.
Okay, so first thing each morning after completing Holosync, 60 minutes, what I do is immediately, without any interruption, go into Morning Pages. And that is distinct from journal writing. And the idea is you sort of clear out that layer of clutter between your conscious and subconscious mind, the way I see it.
It's a great description.
And that, yeah.
And I knew you have another one to share, but I just want to interject.
Yeah.
I have personally made that exact recommendation to many people over the years because, for one thing, I'm a huge Julia Cameron fan. So, you know, The Artist's Way is one of the most influential books for me to get my creative juices flowing. And Morning Pages, it sounds like you kind of done the same thing I did, which is kind of treat them as part of your overall meditation practice. Is that right?
Yes. And I'd like to add, as a matter of fact, I got this from calling into your wonderful, I don't recall who I spoke with, but I asked this on a couple of occasions. It's not the optimal way to do Holosync. But for those of us who find it very hard to lose an hour for this very valuable practice, to literally, and I have a friend that's done this, and I'm starting now for a long time, set the alarm an hour earlier, put on those soft pads, start it, and fall back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that way you get it done consistently every morning and still have your all your full time for productive tasks.
Yep. Great, great tip. Did you have a resource too?
Well, before Chris goes on, I want to say that I'm very excited about this resource, and I can't believe Mark has never shared this with me.
So
thank you, Chris, because I'm going to look this up right after the call. So what's number two?
Okay, number two is prayer. And I just want to say for those of us who have an ambiguous concept of God, what I found through my journey is that prayer is possible without praying to anyone or anything.
Mm.
So it's just prayer. And here's an example. I say, today, guide me to being of service to others, period.
Mm. Beautiful.
And that kind of open-ended prayer helps get me on my way. And then I forget about all the philosophical argumentation about pro and con of theological this and it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to shut off the monkey mind, if you know what I mean.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a beautiful sentiment. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. I remember, the name just went flying right out of my head, but it's the quote was something to the effect of, you know, meditation or a prayer is a form of asking, petitioning, reaching out actively in a sense. And meditation is listening for those answers. Mm-hmm. So that might not suit everyone's, approach to the world. But for some of us who have a spiritual side or want to keep that spiritual side active, I think that's a good kind of view. So, Chris, great. Morning Pages from Julia Cameron. The Artist's Way, highly recommended book. Mary Ellen, I'll give you my copy, okay?
Yeah, I'm very excited. and I will just second Chris on the second as well, because every morning I do my meditation, my exercise, my journaling, and every night the last thing I do before I go to bed is pray. So it's again, like-minded people have a lot of like-minded practices. So it's, and you find that when you get into a community. So it's lovely. It's lovely.
Yes.
And so I would like to welcome or almost do a last call for anyone who would like to get in the queue. Please raise your hand. on the phone via star 2, on the web call, the little fist icon that says raise hand. Let's do take one more question, Rebecca, and if we don't have any more after that, we'll kind of finish up, Mark, okay?
That sounds good. Yeah, I know. I don't want to keep people too long. We do have a lot of questions. If you asked and you did not get, we didn't get a chance to answer it this time around, you will watch that inbox because we will get back to you with an answer. So, Rebecca, you got a pile of questions there. So, what's a good one to talk about?
Yeah, we got one from Zoilita, and she asked, "How do we support people to become more resilient?"
Well, you can start a company like Centerpoint. I guess is one way, but. And I know Ryan's got some comments and Rebecca too, probably about this one. But for me, I think this is one of those times when it's really vital to live by example. And you know, when you can kind of stop, Marianne was talking about that at the very beginning of the call. And you know, when she decided to get tested and have her family tested, it wasn't just to put her own mind at ease, but others as well. And you know, when you kind of have that perspective of looking out for ourselves as a whole, as a people, as a world, it really kind of empowers you to make choices that are resourceful and healthy, and that's part of resiliency. That's part of how to be strong in the moment and get through that. So maybe I'm rambling my way through this, but Ryan,
well,
Ryan
okay,
will
so,
make it all make sense.
Well, sure. I think the other thing is that. I mean, we can take an example from this call already is the giving of resources for other people. Because, I mean, look, Chris got on the phone. He asked some questions. He provided some feedback. And he's like, hey, these resources, that's exactly what you want to do to help other people. It's like I know that in my own personal life, I've been, you know, kind of the preacher. You need to go and listen to Holosync. But then it's like how many people actually go and follow through versus is like, if you say, hey, there's this really cool book that you should probably read this chapter or this really cool page. Here, let me send it to you. And you're going to get a lot of benefit from it. I find that just inviting people to go and look at the resources is a much better way of doing it because it's not forcing. It's inviting. Right?
It is. And I think that's key is being able to kind of tune into those resources. And that's one of the, you know, it's hard to always say something positive about a pandemic because good Lord. But one of the good things about it really is that a lot of people have had to stop and take a look at those resources and begin to use things. You know, one of my friends said, you know, he spent the afternoon. I said, what have you been doing? He goes, I've been in my garage digging through all this stuff to get my exercise gear out. Right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's been sitting there collecting dust because he's just simply been occupied with other things. Now, all of a sudden, he bought the stuff probably 5 or 10 years ago. He's finally using it. So I think that's true with meditation, and it's been true with me with my reading and my writing. I like to do that stuff anyway, and now I'm doing it a lot more. So, yeah. And Rebecca, yes.
Yeah, I just want to speak on that a little bit about the resiliency, and I think it's really important to share compassion with others and to be able to give them love and acceptance, because I think that's going to speak volumes to people and really impact anyone you talk to positively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful, and I do want to let people know that, again, if you would go to thecenterpoint.com and see the planets, one of our planets is resilience.
Yeah.
And we do have a new expert on our planet. His name is Dar Dixon. You may recognize that name as he is a pretty famous Hollywood actor, but he has had this amazing life full of stories where he had to be resilient. And we're actually in the process as we speak right now doing a product with Dar. But right now, again, there is a free podcast on the site of Dar under centerpoint.com, under resilience, or under Dar Dixon, you will find that. So please, you know, we invite you to use all of the free resources we have on the site for you because we do have so many.
We do. And I don't, you know, we have a lot to work on in this, but I'm telling you, there's so many questions, as Rebecca said, about resiliency, rebirth and rebounding. That's why we're doing this work with Dar. And I think everyone's going to be really excited to see what we're going to come up with. Every time we get a chance to work on this, this new program, it gets better and better. And so keep an eye out for that. It's a little bit down the road, but keep an eye out. We are hearing these questions. We know this is important to people. It's important to us. And so, you know, we use these tools too. So we want to create things that we can use. We're all, you know, personal growth enthusiasts. It's not just a hobby. It's how we live our lives. So we want tools that really work, and we're in a position to create them. So that's what we do.
And I promise you, DAR will be like no other personal growth product you've ever listened to or bought or discussed with your friends and family. So true.
He is so down to earth and just, you know, absolutely engaged.
Raw, very raw.
Raw.
It should just be called DAR Raw.
Uncensored.
Yes. And so we do have another live question that I'd like to get to. Marjorie, I am unmuting you. Welcome. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. I do have kind of an interesting situation. I'm very calm. And so a lot of people that I come into contact with who are very, very agitated seem to think that they need to unload all of their agitation on me. I don't know whether they're trying to make me uncalm. I don't know what their deal is. But any suggestions?
You know, Marjorie, yeah, I can kind of relate to that because it's like, you know, Mary Ellen was talking about sort of the sense of divisiveness and how, you know, there are people who I think develop rapport, which is a form of trust that, you know, is part of our communication based on how like they are to us in terms of their emotional responses and reactions to things. So if you are kind of, you know, not worked up enough and not riled up enough. And, you know, there's that saying that if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I get that. I get that sentiment. I really do. Cause I do get riled up about certain things myself. I think all of us do, but if you're a generally calm person, you know, I think really, even if they seem to not really be able to relate to you, or it maybe even causes them to distrust you for some reason, that's an opportunity for them to reflect on that. If that's what's working for you, and boy, you know, I wish more people could manage to do that, including myself, you know, stick to it. That is your path, and you're living by example. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, give you props, because if you're able to remain calm, even everybody is all agitated around you, that's a powerful place to be. And that's also, you're being a powerful example to that other person of being, you know, even though all this stuff is going on, to be able to be here and to show up and to listen and to be open to this person and to be present and hold space for them, that's very, very powerful and welcoming and inviting and compassionate. And that's also another way that you can help people develop resilience, because they can see your example and they go, wow, that's cool. I want more of that in my life. Well, how are you doing? And they might begin to ask you questions about what it is that you're doing, right? Because you're noticing and you're showing up in a different way than they've been exposed to.
Yep. Does that address a little bit of what you're asking about, Marjorie?
Yes, I am always giving encouragement and helping people, but it seems like I don't want to become this gigantic sounding board so that every single person that I'm dealing with seems to feel like I need to stop and take an hour to address whatever their issue is.
Sure. Well, you know, and you're talking about boundaries, and, you know, we've sort of had that conversation on these calls before, is that boundaries, some people who have trouble setting them fear that boundaries are a way of repulsing people or offending or hurting people in our lives. But there's an art to setting boundaries. And when you do it effectively and you're firm but compassionate about those boundaries, you know, the people who need to be present in your life and belong there will see that and respect that. And frankly, if someone's not ready to do that, then they may not be ready to be part of your circle, and that's okay too. You know, everyone's kind of on their own journey, and not everyone really understands. And we live in a culture, frankly, I'll just say on a personal level, my feeling is you get a lot of attention when you get riled up, right? I mean, look at the news. When I was a kid, you know, the news was delivered in this monotone, right? Now you've got these screaming, talking heads on TV every night, and that's fine. I get that. But I think we're kind of living in times when there's a lot of noise. Sometimes that's necessary to make some noise, a little chaos before reorganization. But in the midst of it, if you can keep yourself calm, keep yourself centered, you're just going to be way more resilient. And you're going to be much more of an explorer, as we talked about earlier, in tune with the environment, than people who are not focused on that, not able to do that.
Cool. Well, I'll just keep setting my boundaries, and if I feel led to chat with them, I'll stop. If not, I'll excuse myself.
Very good. You sound like a very mindful person, Marjorie. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks.
All right.
Wonderful. At this time, I really would like to let you know that right now with Holosync, if you're not a Holosync user, again, we have so many free resources on the website that I really invite you to, but we are kind of doing a last chance offer for Holosync at our 30% discount, right? Which is an incredible, incredible price. And if you can go there, I do not know how long this link will be up. I think it will be up for the next day or two. It's my Holosync. Actually, you have to do www.myholosync.com/AP30. And I invite you to take advantage of that, because you know, I know personally Holosync has changed my life, but I also know that it's changed my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter's life as well. And she's been doing it for over 3 years now. And it's the difference in this child is amazing. So www.myholosync.com/AP30. I would like to invite Mark to talk a little bit about the person that they could actually call if they'd like, because we will honor that price on a deeper level as well. And Mark, who should they call if they'd like to talk to somebody about an incredible price on deeper levels or any questions they have about the Holosync Solution Program?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned on the last call, we have been fortunate to add to our ranks an incredible human being by the name of Gregory Hendricks. And Greg has come into CenterPoint with an immense amount of experience already under his belt in terms of he's a yoga instructor. He's been a meditation master for years. He's just an all-around great guy. And he has really poured himself into learning all the details about the Holosync Solution Program. And I'll be the first to admit, the program can seem complex at first. When you finally kind of start using it, you realize how simple it is. But it's Ryan's smiling at me right now because he answers a lot of those questions. And Greg has really learned the details, and he is our official deeper level and Holosync solution concierge. So he is the man. If you have questions, if you're ready to move on, if Greg doesn't have the answers, he's going to hunt them down for you no matter what. So I don't have the slide in front of me, but I think we're seeing that slide right now with of Mr. Hendricks. And so please reach out to Greg. He is available. You can call, you can email, support, or you can email Greg, the two G's, at centerpoint.com.
Yes, and his phone number is 971-470-3832. And that is on the slide. Most of you see that. But again, for those of you who are not on the phone, Greg, with three G's really, Greg at centerpoint.com, 971-470-3832. Mm-hmm. And if you would just like to go to the link again, www.myholosync.com/AP30. So I am, again, we are very, very humbled and honored to have spent this time with you. Please do not hesitate to call our incredible support team at any point. You know, our promise is that we're here for you every step of the way. And I guess I will leave you with this quote from Bill, And it's almost quietly profound. And it says, with enough awareness, you'll know just what to do in every situation. So I'd like everyone to please take care of yourself and those around you. Thank you so much for being with me today. Bye-bye, everybody.